Okay, this is the penultimate lecture in Geography 12. We'll be having a meeting and having another lecture on Friday. The lecture on Friday is going to consist of two things. It'll be a summary of the entire class and what we've covered in the class. And I'll to cover that, I'll be using the summary slides that I show as the last slide in each lecture, just to revisit some of the important points over the course of the quarter. And then I'll also review the sections that I consider important that you might get questions on the final exam. Final exam is next week. It is on, I believe it's Wednesday, December the 7th at, is it 5 o'clock? I can't remember. 5? Can't remember the exact time. I think it's correct on the website. at least one or two people have asked me if I can give correct answers for the practice test that's posted on the website. I will do so as soon as I get back to my office right after class today. Any questions before we proceed? Okay, yes. The final is on the material since the midterm. So we'll concentrate on the chapters that we've covered since we did the midterm. But you might expect the occasional hand grenade question thrown in there with earlier material on it. Okay. So today's lecture is, in a way, it's a sort of a synthesis of everything that we've covered over the course of the quarter. We've looked at cartography this quarter very much as a science, a mapping science, but we haven't considered many of the other ramifications, the sort of social and political ramifications of cartography. That's what I hope to cover today. So this is a little bit of a different kind of a lecture, a little bit of a different dimension as far as cartography goes. So let us begin. And I say the source of information, this is really the source and the inspiration. This book by Michael Momnir, How to Lie with Statistics, it's beyond its second edition, has been doing extremely well. Really well thought out, nice, concise little statement, easily readable over a weekend. Nice kind of Christmas present type of a book, you might argue. This book covers pretty much the material I'm going to cover today. In fact, I'm going to finish with Momnir's 10 rules on how to obfuscate geographic information. But I would have to say the inspiration for this lecture is really a visit I made to Venice in Italy a few years ago when I saw the original of this book. Let me kind of read the caption there. You can't read it. It's in Italian. That doesn't help. But it's the account of the Zeno brothers of their voyage across to the Middle Atlantic, where they discovered and completely described the island of Frisland. Here is Frisland on one of Mercator's charts, dutifully placed in the middle of the Atlantic. While there, the Zeno brothers engaged with the local kings, described the economy, the vegetation, and so on. The Zeno brothers never left Venice. They wrote this book in the back of a coffee house in the 1540s. It became a bestseller, and Frisland was included on maps for 300 years after this was revealed as a phony. Okay, so here's my inspiration for today's lecture. A lot of times we put things on maps that are absolute and outright falsifications. And we have to, at the very least, if we're going to be scientifically objective, be aware of that fact. Okay? So we'll do a tour of some maps and look at some themes that are prominent in Momnir's book initially, and hopefully start asking you, or have you begin to ask questions whenever you see something that that has value. So we'll start with maps that promote, and I would argue that probably one of the more widely distributed sets of maps that promote something in this country are the free road maps that were distributed for many, many years at gas stations in the United States. Pretty much anywhere you stop, you could pick these things up. They had no value associated with them. That's why I always say geography is probably misunderstood as valueless within North American educational system. But obviously these maps were doing two things. They were promoting travel and knowledge about places because that burned up gasoline and tires. And if you look at the people who are the sponsors of these maps and who gave them away for free, they were quite clearly trying to promote the idea of people moving around and burning up gasoline. In fact, here we actually see the progress of from Native American trails to pioneer wagons to Wells Fargo to the modern railway car, automobile within New England as we move about. And of course, it's sponsored by a gasoline company. Okay, so it's quite clear what the motivation here is to sell stuff, the same way the internet has arisen in promoting and selling stuff. Google is a media company, after all, that just sells advertisements. So by promotion and by having motivation like this, we can propagate a settlement. We can encourage people to move house or to move their locations. This map I've included because it's a promotional map of the gold regions of California. These maps, when they reached the East Coast, were sufficient for people to just literally jump up, leave their lives, and get by any means they could to come to California during the 48-49 gold rush. So the entire Northern California region becomes the gold field, or the gold field regions of California. And here's your directory and your guide how to get there. You have to go around the Cape, or you can go across across at Panama, or you can cross the United States in some way. And literally thousands of people dropped everything they were doing and left for the gold fields, just purely on the basis of this map and what it was communicating. The same thing goes for promoting California as a state and its likelihood of moving there. I just love this. I think I want to promote this, put it on my door or something. So we have California, cornucopia of the world, something that it's become. California's agricultural industry is probably unsurpassed in the entire remainder of the earth. Look at this, room for millions of immigrants. That's certainly not language you'd find used politically today. 43 million acres of government land untaken. Railroad and private land for 1 million farmers. So this is very clearly promoting the idea of agricultural expansion in the United States, and obviously it was largely successful. The history of this region and the history of the Central Valley bear this very much out. So these are the maps that are promoting settlement. Here's the, sort of the ultimate irony, because it's both a map and a piece of real estate speculation. If you go out to Dubai, you will see that along the waterfront, you can see it quite clearly on Google Earth, there are a whole series of man-made islands that have been promoted for building luxury condos and mini-mansions for the world's wealthy. Now, the first of these was built in the shape of an enormous palm tree, and there are now two of those, in fact, in Dubai. Then came along this speculative venture, which was going to create a map of the world and populate it with continents. Each one of these little dots represents a mansion which would have its own individual island on which it would be located, with its own dock and its own sailboat and so on. The pouring of all the material that allowed the creation of this barrier island and then the interior islands took many, many years. Curiously, given the world recession and the global economic slump in real estate, many of those houses are now unoccupied. And you could probably pick up one of these mansions for certainly less than the millions that they used to sell for right now. So this is promoting the idea that Dubai is a major center of world commerce, that it's global in its thinking and context, in spite of it being in the Persian Gulf. I hope that's not me. This one I think is very interesting. This is a promotional map from the Canadian Pacific Railway in 1881. Very much like the field map that we saw. So we're trying to encourage. roller or public political politically. Here it is, as their political border, the border with Afghanistan and with India. You notice their relations have not been particularly good with India. And you can hardly argue that this is a stable border with Afghanistan. Take a look at places like Gilgit here in the north. And now let's website and their map of India, in fact their focal point of the province of Kashmir, is that same city of Gilgit, but now you'll notice that it's quite firmly within India. They believe they are Kashmir is its own state. Here's the CIA. Provinces in so in dispute. This is things, ships and thank you. boundaries of this on really as we know, in a constant state of war now for how long is it? Who knows? During wartime, maps become used primarily for propaganda, for promoting your point of view and trying to obscure the enemy's point of view. So, and this goes back, I'll start with some early examples. This is some maps that came out, or some promotional literature in France that came out before World War I. So here we have German hegemony wanting to eat up and conquer the entire world. And this is a common theme that you'll see in the press just before most of the world wars, and indeed often during other wars. This is a German map proposed for captured before World War I and then printed in the French press to drum up basically anti-German feeling. And just to translate it, Spain seems to survive okay by itself. Great Britain is labeled German colony, as is also Ireland. All of France is labeled Greater Germany. France is now this little tiny polygon down here by in the Basque territories. And all of the rest of the world was Austria-Hungary. Well, of course, it was largely the collapse of the Austro-Hungarian Empire that came about as a result of World War One. You notice the Swiss are still independent in the middle there. So this idea of a captured plans of grand ambitions of the enemy for how they want to divide up the world. This has been a theme throughout history. Now, I would argue that no one has influenced this kind of political thought more than this British geographer during the 1920s and 30s, Halford Mackinder, just had his 150th anniversary, I believe. This is what he looked like. He was an extremely conservative geographer on the faculty at the University of Oxford, and he, during his entire career, put forward a series of theories about the development of societies on Earth and about the possession of territorial ownership. And he argued that you could divide the Earth up into basically three zones. Central Asia, he called the pivot area. He saw the value of land as being the driving factor, and therefore the largest land area that was usable for agriculture was the area that the Soviets were turning into agricultural land using collective farming, and that had the greatest potential for reward. Then there was a zone surrounding that of other areas like Western Europe and so on, and then he put all of the rest of the world in the zone of outer or insular crescent. And you notice that the United States appears on both sides. First of all, I'd like to invite you to say, what the heck kind of map projection is that? To me, it looks like a cylindrical kind of a projection, arrayed left to right, and should be contained within a rectangle. But in fact, it's drawn within an ellipse. So that the meaning of the U.S., say, on this projection here and that projection there, it doesn't have any sense whatsoever. But this idea was seized upon quite heavily by emerging Nazi party in Germany. They quite closely read Mackinder's work and used it to conclude that he who could conquer and hold the pivot area could dominate the earth. And this was actually used as the justification for the political and military arguments for attacking and conquering Russia and seizing its oil fields and resources. It's also probably why they believed that the United States would never be involved and influence the outcome of the war. So before World War II, we see the same phenomenon again. Maps that say, here is Germany's plan for what's going to happen in terms of what's going to... here's the evidence, it says. This recently captured German map shows what's going to happen. Grab, grab, grab. It's the Nazi policy. Well, in fact, that was their policy. but it has countries labeled by the year in which they were intended to be annexed. Great Britain is labeled 1948, Germany 1945, France 1941. Boy, many of those actually came to pass, and Britain was the lone country that held out, you might argue, against that agenda. So again, this idea of circulating these maps promote this. If you're trying to argue that your country is under threat, you need to do the exact opposite. Instead of saying that your enemy wants to expand, here you can say that I am vulnerable to my enemy at every point. Invade Czechoslovakia, threat. Thank you.
highly recommend the film in the museum as well. We really much more about the and how the dwarf can exist. It was very much the reality in Berlin when it went to this very center. At the other end of the Iron Curtain was Trieste, and the latter of the communist Yugoslavia met the Western Iron Curtain.
Off of its extreme western side, but this became a very hard border with Yugoslavia. So this, in this case, we had a political claimant or a history that was quite distinctive, and again, this became very much a... Maps have their wine vintage some of the things that you should do. He says this is polishing the card. How do we maps? We talked about the things that I like and leave off the things that I don't. So if we choose the rounded or what what it is that promotes your cause, and then make that the theme of the map. That's easy enough to do. Good job doing exactly that. If court have a story ready, even today, during the violation of copyright. all their agricultural.
Friday, so I'll be a summary and a review.
5% attempt.